escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yo! Danny Parkins, how are you?
I'm great, guys. Long time. How are you?
Good. You got a TV show and everything. I watch it. I don't watch it live. It's a little early. But I record it every day, and I watch it. It's the Breakfast Ball.
Yeah, Lazo has YouTube TV. I don't have cable. I'll just be totally upfront with you. But Lazo does, and so we get to watch it work. And I will say, Lazo records your show. Mm-hmm. So when we get to work, we turn that on, and then we see a little bit of Coward, and then we see there's somebody on after that, but
don't know.
We don't watch all of it. Yeah.
It's not very good, whatever
it is.
There's
more people to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot of sports.
No, it's very kind of you. Yeah, it's surreal. You know, followed Nick. I mean, honestly, I've been following him. He's Syracuse, didn't know him, but was behind him. Then KC. Followed him as the Churchill Laszlo sports guy, mm-hmm. and then to Fox Sports 1. And I think, obviously, the biggest gig was being your sports guy.
Look at that. Thank you very much. Hey, is it – I know you say it's surreal, but when you look over and you see, like a real ex-NFL player.
Yeah.
I've always wondered this because, like, I watch sports. I know that he's not going to confuse me with what Cover 2 is or – you know, Cover Zero and the Zero Man, but like all that, I know what it is. You're not going to confuse me. But there are times where I think I'd be talking and I'd look over and be like, but I mean, you actually did that. So I don't know, really. Maybe I am confused. What do I know, right?
Yeah, it's not the X's and O's stuff because they don't come to me for that. Like if we're doing a film breakdown or something, like that's going to be Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion's role on the show.
Okay, let's be fair, though. He was a fullback, so, I mean, you run through the one or three holes, so whatever.
Yeah, he was a guard. It was even.
Oh, he was? I thought he was a fullback.
No, yeah, no, he was a guard for John Elway.
Oh, well then, I mean, I don't even know. You're like back or forward.
Yeah. Hit the guy in front. And, I mean, his nickname was Stink because he would piss his pants so he would smell bad and guys wouldn't want to block him. And his jersey number was 69, and he's from Alaska and went to Idaho. Like, right. I can keep up with him.
No, yeah. You're right. And that is a thing. I knew he was 69 because I had looked him up when we did it. And I've coached a ton of football in my life, and every time the kids show up on the practice field, I always look to say, who's got number 69 because he's an idiot. He's always an idiot. He's just a loudmouth idiot. You're going to have a problem with him. He's dumb. First off, you're going on the offensive line. There's no doubt about that. It's just whether you're smart enough to play tackle or not.
And Stink was a guard. He's an 11 out of 10 human being. So he's also just like he's a lineman. Like he's protective of me as the youngest guy on the show with the least amount of profile.
Right.
Like, he wants to hang. Like, so when we moved to New York, he moved from Denver and I moved from Chicago, and we were literally across the hall from each other at the hotel that Fox was putting us up in before we found, you know, like where we were going to live permanently. And so, and his wife was back in Denver and his grandkids are in Florida and my wife and kids were still back in Chicago. So we went out to dinner like three or four nights a week and just hung out. And he's the greatest guy in the world. But yes, I also, you know, I'm not terribly worried about intellectually him like pinning me down in a corner somewhere. I can hold my own.
But I will say that when I watch the show, that's the one thing that I do notice about him and you is that you seem to genuinely like each other. And the other part about that is sometimes guys who used to play sports, and it doesn't matter what show it is, but you can tell the ones who are really great at it, who used to play sports and now they're on TV, are the ones who don't come off so condescending like I played the sport. And I use it like Barkley and Shaq. Like, they don't, you know how great those guys were? They don't have to tell you how great they were.
Correct. And like, Schlereth can poke fun at himself because he was just an offensive lineman.
Right.
But then he also can drop 3 Super Bowl rings on his
table. Exactly, and be like, hey, of all the people in the world, like 0.1% of the people did this. So, you know, bust my balls and call me stink, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, he's got that about him where he's like self-deprecating, but he also comes with like, hey, you know, yeah, he played in the NFL, man.
He's just there for the hang, and he also he's very thankful. Like, you know, he's 58 years old. He was an offensive lineman in the 90s who's not going into the Hall of Fame. Most of the athletes that have these types of jobs are either way younger than him or ex-quarterbacks, Hall of Famers, much more famous than him. Yeah. And he still calls games on Fox. Now, we make fun of him. We're like, you're the official broadcast of the NFC South. Because, you know, the Panthers and Falcons are getting together.
Right.
Like, Mark Schlereth is on the call for 1% of the country. But it's still 1% of the country that is watching him on Sundays. And then he comes back and does a show 5 days a week. So he's got a monster media career for a guy who really didn't have a very big profile as a player. So he's
well, I'm a guy who watches a lot of football, and I thought for sure he played fullback for the Steelers.
That's how he carries it. The Steelers were his favorite team growing up. But yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I see him talk about the Steelers. I'm like, yeah, I remember you.
Of course.
There's a guy with a name very close to Mark Schlereth who was a fullback for the Steelers at some point, and I have had those two dudes confused forever, and now I have to go back and try to figure that out.
He would love that because his dream was to be the fullback of the Steelers, but he was a guard for the then Redskins and Broncos. So
all right.
Not particularly close, but he's the best. And Carden's awesome. And I honestly, like, I credit radio for our chemistry. Like, Craig, radio legend, I did okay in radio, and Stinks still does morning drive in Denver.
Oh, really?
He gets off the air with our show, and he goes upstairs and does the last 2 hours of his morning show that he's done for the better part of a decade in Denver. So just like, it's 3 radio guys that we just happen to have cameras turned on.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. When you've got a background in radio, and then, you know, because you'll hear people say, like, I don't know how you go in there and talk to all those people. And Lazo and I say, and I think a lot of people in radio will, well, we kind of forget. We're really just talking to one another, or you're just kind of talking to yourself. If you're doing the show by yourself, you're in a room by yourself. Because we have to do things, you know, for our job over the years, like get in front of an audience and introduce a band on stage, and we don't want to do it. And they say, why would you talk to people every day? And it's like, yeah, but not when they're actually there. You know, it's a different feeling. And I'm always curious seeing you and Nick and these other guys who have a background in radio, when you get to TV, what the differences are, what those things, those elements of surprise that you just hadn't prepared for when you get there. Because you know it's going to be different. You know you got to put on a suit. You know you can't just roll out of bed. You got to comb your hair. That's the obvious stuff.
Right.
But then what are the other things when you get in there that you're like, okay. Because I think just staring at a camera alone and trying to look in the right spot. But for sports guys, you don't have to do that as much as like a local anchor or whatever. You know, you guys
Correct.
Can talk to one another. But I'm always curious.
That's the thing. The industry has just moved. I'm very lucky. Like, the industry has just moved in the direction of Nick and my skill set. Like, these are basically sports talk radio shows that are on TV.
Yeah.
You know, when I filled in for Colin Cowherd, which was like my pseudo audition for Fox, that was a thing because it's a 3-hour solo radio show, but you're staring down the barrel of a camera on national TV, monologuing for 10 or 12 minutes, fully aware that you're in a huge studio on camera. You know, the Skip Bayless's show ends, they go, ba-na-na, and it's Herd with Colin Cowherd. There's no commercial break.
Just thinking about that, when you do Cowherd in on your show, just made me think, are there hard stops?
On Cowherd, yes, because there's network outs for radio, not for me or Nick's show. Like, they want us out before the top of the hour, so we're back at the top of the hour.
Right, so it's like radio, like, hey, we'd like for you to do it at this time, but if it doesn't happen, it's okay. It's not like, I hear sometimes on like CNN or MSNBC, like, we got to go. And then even when they're not done, it hits that commercial. So I just wondered if that, you know, how you.
Yeah, I think like, you know, there's, I'm sure there are some things that I'm not aware of, but like, you know, it, like if someone buys a commercial in radio and they're like, it has to be played during the 4 o'clock hour.
Right.
Well, that commercial has to be played during the 4 o'clock hour. And I'm sure on CNN, there's some buys that are like that. With us, it seems pretty casual. They want us back by the top of the hour,
right,
and then the breaks are floating. And then, really, there's very little, like, stare down the barrel of the camera. There's zero script or script reading or teleprompter. So it's look at Carton, look at Stink, talk right, sports. But then the other things are like, well.
By the way, when you talk to him, tell him I thought he was Dan Kreider.
Dan Kreider.
Right, he was a white fullback for the Steelers from 2000 to 2007. That is absolutely who I thought he was.
That's hilarious. He will be thrilled. That would make him younger, play offense, have the ball in his hands, and on his favorite team growing up. He'll be thrilled. But no, it's just like, okay, what video needs to go behind this point? What should the question be at the bottom of the screen that gets you into making your point? In radio, I got a 4-hour show, and if I don't really do it well the first time that I make the point about the Bears or the Chiefs or whatever, I just do it again. But this time it's like, all right, you're going to get one crack at this Eagles topic.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And I might talk 2 times total in the entire 5 minutes or 6 minutes that we're doing it. So, like, you just have to – you got to nail your 90 seconds or your 60 seconds as opposed to – you know, oh, don't worry, I'll get them next time. It's just there's a lot more thought that goes into less content.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, and this is for radio or TV for sports guys, I noticed it with Nick, I noticed it with you, and I just thought, man, that seems like a high-stress situation is that when you're doing a sports talk show in either medium, what is the longest you feel like you can be away from sports news? You know, you want to spend time with your kids. You want to go out right, to dinner with your wife, whatever it is. And yet you feel your phone buzzing, and it's, oh, now it's buzzing a lot. I'm getting Twitter notifications. Something's going on here. You have to look because you have to constantly be fully and totally up to date on everything that's going on in the sports world. I mean, it's not, I get it. It's maybe not the same as doing live news on CNN. I get it. It's sports, but it is still sports news. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so you need to be up to date. And I just remember seeing Nick, like we went to Ireland, and he constantly had that iPad out. If it wasn't the iPad, then it was his laptop, always checking all these feeds to just, he needed to know, make sure that he knew, make sure he wasn't missing something that was going on in the sports world. And it could be something that did not seem like a very big story to me, but it's a big story if you're in the
right,
in the business.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think it's gotten better as Twitter has gotten less important. Back in the day, it felt like you had to comment on everything immediately on Twitter to be out there.
That's probably part of what it was, yeah.
You know, and I think that has changed significantly with just, there's now a million different social media platforms. Where Nick and I, again, are similar, though, is that, like, the only reason we're in the spot that we're in is because we know stuff, right? It's not 3 Super Bowl rings. It's not, right, you know, I was in the Hall of Fame or I'm famous or a longtime play-by-play guy or anything like that. So there is, like, okay, we do mornings. I'm on the East Coast. Monday Night Football ends at 11:30. My alarm goes off at 4:10. Our meeting is at 5:30. I've got to commute into the city. I could watch the YouTube version of the game, read the box score, and rely on my producers to like give me a thing or two to talk about and kind of get by. But I feel like I got to watch the game because
that's
what I've always done.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So in football season, there's Sunday Night Football, there's Monday Night Football, there's Thursday Night Football. Those games end late. So you're watching a lot of games. You're burning the candle at both ends. I'm trying to parent. I'm trying to be a husband. But these are first world problems.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I'm not going to complain about, yeah, I'm attached to my phone too much or I'm streaming a game when I'm at, you know, a function with my kid in the future, whatever right, the case may be. Like, that's what they pay us for.
Absolutely. Right. That, yeah.
Yeah, like Mad Men, that's what the money's for.
Yep.
Right, exactly. Every job has downsides. That is a slight downside, but it still is watching sports and then talking about it. But TV is just weird. That's the thing. It's just weird. I used to ask Nick, like, you read stories about guys who, like, insane egos or crazy demands, and I'm like, and he's, you know, gotten famous and, like, dresses nicer, drives a nicer car, whatever. But, like, Like, yeah, I'm going to always, like, kind of keep you the same. I'm like, it would never happen. We just get pampered.
Yeah.
Like, we just get pampered. Like, so they dress us, right? You only see my shirt, my sport coat, my hair 99% of the time. But they also pick out my shoes, my socks, and my pants. And when I go into the dressing room, the belt is already through the loops.
Ooh, wow.
I'm like, why? And so I asked our stylist, I was like, hey, Christine, question. Why is the belt through the loops on my pants on the hanger? And she, first thing she said is, what do you mean? I'm like, what do you mean? What do I mean? Like, you're putting the belt through.
Pre-belted my pants.
You pre-belted my pants. That's not normal in, like, society. And then she goes, second thing, you're the first person who's ever asked me about this. So apparently it's just like normal in television. I'm like, well, that's insane.
Well, it probably became normal because no one asked. So they went in there like, I guess my belt's in my pants now.
Doesn't
like,
mean why? They didn't think about it.
Right.
It just means they were
like that's weird. And they're like, I guess this is how life is now.
All right, act like you've been here before. Just do the buckle.
So I'm like, Christine, I'm sorry. This is just my personality. I'm neurotic. I'm not going to let this go. Like, why? She's like, well, our job is to like make it so that it's as easy as possible so that all you're thinking about is the show. And I just burst out laughing. I'm like, I promise you the takes will not be worse if I have to put on my own belt. Like, it's just crazy. And so that's how it happens. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is how it happens. The people on TV, they eventually become, if it works and you get a second or a third or a fourth contract, you start making stupid money and you just have your belt pre-looped for a decade, apparently you become insane. I think that's my working theory on TV right now.
I think it's fair. Hey, all right, let's really, since we have you on, because I mean, today starts like, what a great long weekend of football. I mean, you got college play. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all playoff football.
And Monday.
Oh,
weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they do. For Wild Card Weekend, they got 2 Saturday, 3 Sunday, and then the Rams-Vikings game is Monday, but they might end up moving that to Arizona. By the time people listen to this, that decision might be made because of the fires in L.A. So, yeah, we've got playoff football Thursday through Monday. My wife is pumped.
I'll bet.
Yeah. A lot of solo parenting coming her way. But, yeah, I mean – I'm not as locked into the college, but Laszlo, you got Ohio State winning, I assume?
I do. I mean, I don't think anybody can beat them. It feels like, and I mean, I watch a ton of college football, but it really feels like Michigan pissed them off, doesn't it?
Yes, and that receiver, like, in baseball, when they're like, that kid's only 19 years old, I'm like, yeah. He's 24.
Right.
That Jeremiah Smith, the guy on Ohio, he looks like Terrell Owens.
Yeah. They were saying he'd go number one, maybe, but the NFL won't let him. Which, by the way, is another long discussion. Like, why not?
Right. It obviously should be, if a team will draft you, you should be allowed to go. Because in football, that is not an every year occurrence. Like, not even close.
Not even close. Yeah. And I think you could probably, the last time we kind of talked about this in the sports world was Leonard Fournette. He had a monster freshman season, and people were like, he may sit out his sophomore season. Just sit it out so he doesn't get hurt. I mean, if I were Jeremiah Smith, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not – look, I already know I go number one. So, you know what? I'm not going to play next year. If you guys won't take me, take me. Whatever.
The money in college now does make it. It's like, okay, I can make a few million bucks from NIL. I can take out a big insurance policy. Like, I presumably like playing football.
Right.
But so that has made it a little bit more reasonable.
No, you're right. You're right.
To not be as outrageous. But it's obviously not as good as you want to get into the pros as quick as possible, because the second contract in the NFL can be nine figures, right? It can be hundreds of millions of dollars.
The only guys who don't want to do that are running backs.
Right.
But exactly. You know, in a crazy world, because a running back is like, I'll stay in college. I can make more money in college.
Right. Absolutely. But yeah, like Adrian Peterson, right? Like that's a guy that could have gone to the NFL out of high school. But there aren't many of them in football who would even get drafted. But it clearly should be allowed. But you guys feeling good about the Chiefs, I assume?
I don't really know what to feel about the Chiefs. But I'm sure I had similar feelings last year. But just watching this team this year, every week was, and I've watched FS1, I've watched you, I've watched Nick, I've watched Cowherd, and I've heard everybody say it, a lot of people say it, that when you win this many times, it's not just that you're lucky. It's that you're doing something right. It's a business, and you're playing to your levels or your opponent's level, and then just enough more to beat them. That's all you got to do. And maybe that's what they'll continue to do. I don't feel bad about them. I just also wouldn't be totally shocked if they got beat in the playoffs. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's single elimination football, so anyone can be beaten. There's no question about it. But if the Chiefs have concerns or questions, then every team in the league does. You know, like, your problems with the Chiefs, they've won too many close games.
Exactly. Good problems to have.
Too much rest before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, well, these are really high-class problems.
Yeah, right.
You love your coach, you love your quarterback, you love your defense, playing better as the year goes on, relatively healthy relative to the rest of the league. Like, you're in a really good spot. The Lions feel really good about themselves, especially after that Minnesota game, but they've got way more injuries on defense. Like, I can't believe how they played against Minnesota with that defensive performance, right? But, like, they are really, really injured.
Philly, what about that? By the way, just talking about Detroit real quick, I don't think I'd ever seen anything like that cornerback who then they just stick man-to-man on the best receiver in football, maybe, and he just makes a ton of plays. And halfway through the game, they're like, oh, yeah, they said that he told his coach, don't worry about it. He played against him in high school. He'll be fine. I'm like, what? What? Was that not insane to hear?
It was completely insane. The performance that the Lions defense had against Minnesota, it's hard to quantify such a thing, but it was probably the singularly most surprising, like, this unit, like, this team's offense against this team's defense, or in this case, this team's defense against that team's offense performance all year. Like, they had 16 guys on IR. They were playing a top 10 offense in football in a dome, and they held him to 9 points and made Sam Darnold have his worst game of the year, and Justin Jefferson was an afterthought. Now, listen, Darnold just missed some throws, right? Like, guys, I think if you play that game 10 times, I think you hold the Lions to single digits, one of the 10. Like, I do think that was a outlier performance, but still insanely impressive. And listen, the Bears are going to hire Ben Johnson, so they're going to take your offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn, your defensive coordinator, should get a job off that.
I think he'd probably go to New Orleans.
It'd be a good hire for them.
Yeah.
Any piece of you as a Lions fan worried that Dan Campbell, who's a certified crazy person, being propped up by these coordinators a little bit?
Oh, no. Not really. And I heard him talk about it. He said they should both get jobs. There's a guy that, like, as a Lions fan, but there's a guy who has been like Ben Johnson's assistant the entire coached with him in San Diego in college. Like, so that's the guy that they've already said, like, he's the guy. He's going to take over Ben when he leaves. And I think, I think if Aaron Glenn leaves, they just hire Robert Saleh.
Yeah, which would be an excellent hire. And that's the thing.
And he grew up 10 minutes from, you know, Ford Field. Like, it'd be Robert Saleh coming home. I think Robert Saleh was not a great head coach, but he can coach defense, and he seems to have that same kind of attitude that would fit into what they're doing there. Like, it ain't all about X's and O's. It's about, you know, hitting people hard and trying.
Yeah, and people are going to want to coach for Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Like, that culture does not just go to the players. It'll go to coaches, too. People will be lining up to join the staff. But, like, I'm rooting for a Lions-Chiefs Super Bowl.
Me too. I think it'd be great. Let me ask you this, because this is what I think about the Chiefs. And now, people get mad when I say this, but for the entirety of the time that we've watched Patrick Mahomes, right, he has done things and been able to do things that you would say, as a coach or a fan of football, someone who watched football, don't do that. Don't run to the right and throw the ball 40 yards across the field, against your body into not only single coverage, but double coverage. Don't do that.
Right.
Don't run and throw the ball with the wrong hand. Don't do that. Like, just go ahead and, you know, make it second down. It'll be fine. But we've seen it over and over again. It's become almost expected, right?
Yep.
Now, in Buffalo, we have seen Josh Allen try that over the years. I have seen him run down the field and just throw the ball up with one hand, you know, with his back to the defense, and it go horribly wrong. Right? So we've seen him look great and then just do incredibly dumb things, and everybody's like, you panic and you suck. If both those guys are great, then kind of using, I know you're a baseball guy too, then kind of using that baseball analogy, like if you hit the ball hard and you get out every time, you will eventually come back to the mean and your batting average will go up. So just keep doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
What if that's the thing with the Chiefs? What if we've seen Patrick Mahomes be able to make all these amazing plays, but he is finally getting more interceptions, getting hit, doing these things, because the miraculous things that you do on a field can't last forever. But when you have the talent like him of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they also can't go wrong forever. So now Josh Allen is throwing balls 60 yards down the field across his body running the wrong way and completing them. And now we're starting to see, like, hey, this is all coming back to the median here.
I think that that's a thing in sports. Like, yeah, the baseball analogy is good. You know, Kobe would say the thing that you didn't want to do was go 0-for-9 because that means you stopped shooting. Eventually, you're going to start making them again.
Right.
You know, puck luck in hockey. Just keep putting the shots on net, on goal, and eventually they're going to go in. Like, there's no doubt. I mean, I think Josh Allen's year last year was an outlier in the negative direction. He had 18 interceptions.
Like, right.
That's a pretty extreme number. And now he was back down and he was, you know, 5 interceptions for the season. And he was back to being spectacular at it. So I think that definitely goes back and forth. And in a game, I mean, fumble recovery, they basically have said it's luck. Like, the ball bounces. It's not a normal shape. Who recovers it? Where it bounces? Does it stay in bounds? Does it go out of bounds? It's luck. So there's a luck component of all of sports. But I think Mahomes has gotten to such a level that, like, he doesn't rely on the improvisational stuff as much. Like, he's now this, like, unbelievable tactician from the pocket who can also do the crazy no-look passes and the improvisational stuff. Like, he's a master of both crafts. He's Peyton Manning and he's Aaron Rodgers. And so I think that it's the type of thing where...
But we're starting to see those things that he tries that a coach would tell you not to try, not work.
Yes. Yes, you...
As much as they had in the past, right?
That is true. And he's had, I think, a bad interception season for him, like Josh Allen did last year.
Exactly. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, are we starting to see that? Like, nobody's saying they're bad, but, you know, you keep doing it long enough, sooner or later, you know... It doesn't all go your way.
What I'm saying is that Josh Allen is down again this year.
Right.
So Pat, he's in his prime. The last few weeks of the season were great. You know, they moved Tooney over to left tackle because left tackle was a disaster all year. Right. He's the fourth guy they played at left tackle. They get Hollywood Brown back. Xavier Worthy gets more comfortable in the offense. They're going to use DeAndre Hopkins more in the postseason, certainly than they did in the regular season in terms of percentage of snaps played. So their offense, you know, Rashee Rice, the injury sucks, but, you know, guys get hurt in football. It is what it is.
Right.
So in theory, the best of Mahomes this year, he should be peaking at the right time based on protection, health of receivers, rookies coming along, trade acquisition.
I just have a feeling like maybe we see Josh Allen standing there with the Super Bowl victory.
Because he's
doing that miraculous stuff that really only him and Mahomes can do. But he's doing it, and it happens to be bouncing his way this year because that's what it feels like. It doesn't mean he's better than Mahomes, but the ball's bouncing his way this year. And before, it's bounced Mahomes' way. And before that, it bounced Brady's way, right? I mean, you'd see Brady, you know, you're like, whatever, man.
Well, listen, Allen is going to win one. I think he's going to get the MVP this year. I think he's going to edge out Lamar Jackson. He's going to get a Super Bowl at some point, and maybe this is his year. And he beat the Chiefs in the regular season, so it's certainly possible.
Right.
But he still has to go into Arrowhead.
No, you're right. Like, getting that home field advantage was huge.
Way at Arrowhead.
Yeah, getting that home field advantage was huge.
And the rest, like, I think that they beat Denver comfortably, but weird things happen in football. There can be a tipped pass.
Yeah.
There can be an injury. Like, there can be a ball that bounces the way, a special teams touchdown, a missed field goal. Like, every time you play, you can lose, right? The Chiefs almost lost to Carolina. Like, weird things happen. So the bye, the rest, the home field advantage, all of the experience, like, no doubt is going to creep in to Mahomes and Andy Reid.
No.
If they're down
right.
10 at halftime.
You're right.
There will be some doubt that creeps in if Josh Allen and the Bills are down 10 at halftime.
Right. Try being a Lions fan. Last year, when that ball hit that dude's helmet and the other guy caught it, I was like, well, here we go. Like, even Dan Campbell can't fix this. This is a God thing.
I felt that way about Lamar for a long time. Like, you know, those times, all those games where we thought, all right, the Ravens are really good, and they're probably going to be. And he just kept losing, and you couldn't help but eventually think it's in his head. It's got to be in his head. He's got this feeling of like, can I beat Mahomes? Whereas Mahomes is like, I know I can beat this guy. That's huge.
Well, yeah. Well, the Lamar thing, we actually talked about this on the show today. Like, Lamar is 2-4 in the playoffs. It's not a big sample. But what is alarming is that almost exclusively, he was good last year against the Texans. But he's been terrible. Like, he's got a 57% completion percentage in his 6 playoff games, and often the worst game of his season is in the playoff game. Josh Allen, in his playoff career, he's got 21 touchdowns and 4 picks, and his team's averaging 27 points a game. He just happens to be 5-5. Like,
right.
they miss a kick. The 13-second thing happens against the Chiefs. His defense gives up 38. He loses a high-scoring game. Like, Bills fans know that Josh Allen can handle the playoffs. It's like, can the rest of the team? Baltimore fans are like, I don't know. Is Lamar Jackson a choker? Like, I happen to think that he'll have a good postseason, but he can, you know, he beats Pittsburgh this week, then he loses in Buffalo next week. The narrative will still stick to the guy.
I happen to like Pittsburgh this week.
Oh, based on what?
I mean, look, I love Harbaugh. Lamar. I think if you can make him somewhat one-dimensional, and I think if you can stop him from getting outside, that's it. Like, when the Bills beat the Lions, everything in my head was, this does not happen if Hutch is on the field. If Aiden Hutchinson is on that field, then Josh Allen isn't breaking free to the right or left side and throwing it across his body for 100 yards because he's getting hit right there. I think those rush edges from Pittsburgh are going to cause him a problem. I really do.
Yeah, I think that all the stuff is Lamar.
I mean, T.J. Watt's a pretty good football player.
And Pittsburgh has Lamar's number. But they played twice this year. They lost the first game, but they thoroughly outplayed them. Like, they outgained them. They missed – Baltimore missed some kicks. You know, Derrick Henry just, like, dropped the ball on the first possession of the game. It was, like, the worst fumble I've seen of his entire life. Like, that – to me, that game felt like an outlier. And then the second time they played, Baltimore kicked Pittsburgh's ass. And so, like, Baltimore's defense has been playing a lot better recently. Zay Flowers' injury is big for Baltimore. The game's in Baltimore. They have Derrick Henry, Russell Wilson. I mean, Pittsburgh's lost 4 straight games. I will be very surprised. And by the way, Tomlin has hasn't won a playoff game since 2016.
I saw you guys putting up some of those stats. It's kind of surprising.
And his defenses have gotten shredded in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Shredded. Blake Bortles put up 45 on him.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
So, like, I do think it's, like, Tomlin is obviously great, and he gives you a very, very, very high floor. I mean, it's unbelievable to never have a losing season when you've coached for as long as he has. That's obviously insane. But he doesn't have a good quarterback, and so I don't think you're going to win very big playing that way. So we're opposite. I think Baltimore.
All right, well, let's go through them real quick, and then we'll let you get out of here. Is that all right?
Yeah, whatever.
Denver, Buffalo.
I have Buffalo winning a high-scoring game. I think Denver will score on Buffalo.
Do you think, me and you have been arguing about this forever, but now are you at least going to say, all right, you are right, Bo Nix is going to be better than Caleb Williams? I've been telling you that forever.
Be better than Caleb Williams.
Okay.
But okay. I'm very wrong about Bo Nix. He looks good, and I was very, very, very I way underestimated the value of coaching, which is really stupid. because I was like, Caleb Williams is walking into the best situation any rookie quarterback has ever walked into. Meanwhile, like, Bo Nix walked into Sean Payton and he's killing it. So yeah. that was a big miss. That was a loud wrong for your boy.
All right, Chargers Texans.
I got the Chargers. I think the Chargers win on the road. I think Herbert has a big game, and the Texans seem to be a mess right now.
Here's a hot take for you. Ready? Harbaugh sure. and his defensive coordinator have already beaten C.J. Stroud plenty of times. They know what to do. They've gone in there with their defense and beat him when he was at Ohio State. C.J. Stroud never beat Michigan. They know what to do. When C.J. Stroud came in the NFL, I said, you can't, it's not about pressuring him, it's about making him feel uncomfortable. If he gets out and moves, he can throw it, but it's that pocket closing and closing and closing, he gets happy feet. Watch, C.J. Stroud is going to have a horrible game against that Michigan defense, I promise you.
Oh, I mean, Laszlo, consider that take stolen.
Okay, there you go.
You're going to see that on Breakfast Ball with absolutely no credit given.
They've already done it. Yeah, please do it, because they've already done it. I mean, Jesse Minter, Rick Minter, look at that defensive staff. The defensive backs coach was at Michigan when they beat C.J. Stroud. It is filled with Michigan guys, players, and they've beat C.J. Stroud, and they know how to do it. And
love
this
it.
Team, the team that the Chargers built, is the team to beat the Chiefs. That's the only thing they're doing there. It's the same strategy that they used to beat Ohio State. We got to get stronger on the lines. We got to try to confuse the quarterback. All of it is going into play. They just happen to get to test C.J. Stroud this week.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think that the Chargers are ready to beat the Chiefs with the Chiefs resting.
I don't think they're there either yet. I think he's got more steps to go.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it took him 8 years to beat Ohio State. I'm just telling you the plan's in place.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like right. it. All right, so yeah, Chargers.
All right, so we both like the Chargers. Let's see.
Steelers, Ravens.
We already did that one,
yeah,
right?
Broncos, Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Broncos, Bills. We did Steelers, Ravens. Packers, Eagles?
Yeah, Packers, Eagles.
All right. Eagles are better. Eagles are healthy. I've been wrong all year. Packers have lost to – they have six losses. The last one to the Bears in Week 18, and then five losses, two to Detroit, two to Minnesota, and one to Philly. The biggest loss was by 10 to Detroit, and I thought the game should have been closer. It was in the rain. They dropped a wide-open touchdown. Like, it was a weird, weird game. Then every other game, two-point game, three-point game, very close. I think Green Bay is very live in this spot, and they'll finally put together an A game, and I think that they're going to go into Philly and pull off the upset. That's my upset of the week.
Okay. Laszlo,
turnovers. I like Green Bay in this game.
You do?
I do. I just feel like I do. Maybe I just haven't been paying enough attention to Philadelphia this entire time. And look, if Philly wins, then it's all on Saquon. He's going to run for 180 yards and four touchdowns. But nothing else about that team really scares me. I don't know why. It just doesn't. It's like it's good. But I feel like that's a game where a guy like Jordan Love could go out and throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns.
I think he can, too. They haven't played their A game against the best teams, which a lot of people would say, well, dummy, that means they're not
right.
an A team. But
right.
I still think it's coming. And that defense, Hurst only has five picks this year, but two of them were against Green Bay in the opener, and he fumbled. Like, Green Bay turns you over, and Jalen Hurts, he can do that for you. So I think Green Bay's
actually, you know what? I talked myself into it. Saquon's going to have a huge day. They're going to beat the Packers. They're going to beat them. And like, after I started talking about it, I was like, oh, Saquon could run for 180 yards or three touchdowns. And then you started talking into it, and my mind just kept saying, no, he could. It's not he could do that. He's going to do that, you idiot.
Right.
So, yeah.
Change that one.
I changed my mind.
A kind of badass thing that the Eagles are using as a rallying point because they shut down Saquon Barkley when he needed 101 more yards to get Eric Dickerson's single-season record, is apparently him, the offensive line, the coaches, they are now talking about, I think it's 24-95, they're talking about Terrell Davis's rushing record for regular season and postseason combined. So apparently he's got a goal of, a Super Bowl and the most rushing yards in the season when you combine it all. So we'll see.
All right. And then what is it?
Commanders-Buccaneers,
right? Commanders-Buccaneers.
Yeah, Commanders-Buccaneers is the Sunday night game. High scoring, most exciting game of the weekend. Defense, very, very optional. I think it's going to take 30-plus to win the game. And, I mean, Jaden Daniels has been incredible, but yeah. Baker Mayfield's just got a little bit more experience. He's at home. I'm going to give the slight edge to Baker, but I think this is a complete toss-up game. I have no bet on the game. I did bet the over at 49 points, so I think it's going to be high scoring. I'm more confident in that than I am who wins, but my slight lean is to Tampa.
But we're all rooting for the Bucs, right? Everybody likes Baker.
I mean, I do. I like Baker, but, man, there's something about watching that Jaden Daniels kid.
True, and he's had some amazing 50 moments.
50-yard bombs with no time left. You're like, all right. Yeah. You know, I wasn't sold.
Well, that play sucked.
That was
against the Bears.
I remember it was great.
They had a defensive back who was trash-talking the fans instead of, you know, playing defensive back.
Yeah.
That was a weird one.
All right, Rams and Vikings. That's the last one, right?
Yeah, this is another upset for me. I think the Rams win the game. Minnesota, unbelievable season, but they blitz so much that when you play a really good, smart quarterback, we saw it with Goff last week, like, they can handle it.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford can handle it.
Yeah.
So whether it's in L.A. or it's in Arizona, it's not in a crazy loud dome like Minnesota. It'll be a neutral-type location, maybe even no fans. We'll see what happens with the fire. But like, I think Matt Stafford with Kupp and Nacua healthy and Sean McVay, I think the Rams are just flatly better than Minnesota, even though the Vikings have had an awesome season.
Yeah, I think the Rams are getting healthy at the right time. I think Stafford – I don't believe in Sam – the fact that they're like, oh, well, maybe we should keep Sam Donald, like – okay, guys. Like, come on. You're going to do
that,
and you're going
to
end up.
That's the thing.
I watched the Giants do that with a guy named Daniel Jones, and they ended up having him for 8 more years than they wanted. Like, Sam Donald, we've seen enough of Sam Donald to know that this is the outlier year. The other ones weren't.
Right. And you traded up to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
And so he's really young and really cheap.
Right.
And so if Kevin O'Connell can do this with Darnold, you want to make Sam Darnold for $55 million a year?
Yeah.
Or you want to trust that Kevin O'Connell can do this with a chief quarterback who you loved in the draft? I tend to agree with you.
All right, so then I agree with you. Then the Rams. So if everything goes chalk, the last thing, then you're going to look at, and this is what kills me, and maybe that's why I'm rooting for Washington, you're looking at Matt Stafford going back to Detroit again.
Yes.
And the story last year was the Lions are going to get him. Their greatest quarterback ever comes in, but they're over the hump. They're going to do it. And I'm like, wait, I've seen this movie. This is the redemption arc for Matt Stafford. He won the Super Bowl. Then Jared Goff beat him. But then he comes back the next year on his last run, and God damn it, he beats his former team. You're kidding me, man.
Well, he almost did it last year.
I know. But the beauty of that story was it was the Lions story. But as this movie continues, I feel like Matt Stafford is now on the redemption part of it, where he beats his former team and wins the Super Bowl again.
That would be a painful way for Detroit to continue to not make a Super Bowl. Is that the most painful? Is it more painful for it to be that or like a division rival, for it to be like Green Bay or Minnesota?
It'd be more painful but Matt Stafford, because nobody in Detroit hates the guy. You love him. We all love him. So we're like you saw last year when Eminem was like, dude, come on, Matt.
Thought we were cool.
I rap for you, man. I mean, we all love Matt. So we really tried to boo him, and then everybody was like, don't boo him, you jerks. Like, I mean, it's hard to hate Matt Stafford if you're a Detroit fan.
Of course it is. That was the most half-hearted booing attempt ever.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. What are you guys talking about booing Matt Stafford? Like, this is ridiculous. Though that trade, I got to say, all time both teams won trade. Any
yeah.
sport?
I yeah.
It's the craziest thing ever, right?
Yeah, both teams got exactly what they wanted. There is the Tigers back, you know, whenever in the 90s or 80s traded John Smoltz for Doyle Alexander. And people would automatically say, like, oh, well, you know, the Braves got the great deal with that with John Smoltz.
Yeah,
but Doyle Alexander came in and went 9-0 that year to finish it up and got the Tigers into the playoffs, and that's what they needed.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so when I think about all-time, I think those are the same two trades, probably, you know? Like, you take that older guy and he gets you where you want to go, but in the end, the younger guy, you know, it pays off.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, in this case, Stafford's the older guy, and he has the ring, and he's still awesome.
Yeah. I fucking heard you.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
Danny, we love you. Thank you so much.
Danny Parker's FS1 Breakfast Ball. You can watch him, I don't know, Mondays and Friday, I guess. What time do you go on?
Yeah, 7 to 9 Central, but yeah, it's too early. I agree. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That'd be great.
All right. Okay. See you, man.
See you, boys. Thank you.
See ya. And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Toxic and Problematic is brought to you by Mitra 9 Kratom and Kava. Visit Mitra-9.com and use promo code PROBLEMATIC for 25% off your order. Thank you to Direct Computer Outlet in Mission, Kansas for making our Twitch stream possible. Music graciously provided by Kid Computer. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.